how ill it torment me. Balaam could not be contented to be damned himself, but also he must, by his wickedness, cause others to stumble and fall. The scribes and Pharisees could not be contented to keep out of heaven themselves, but they must labor to keep out others too. Therefore, theirs is the greater damnation. The deceived cannot be content to be deceived himself, but he must labor to deceive others also. The drunkard cannot be content to go to hell for his own sins, but he must labor to cause others to fall into the same furnace with him. But look to yourselves, for here will be damnation upon damnation, damned for thy own sins, and damned for thy being a partaker with others in their sins, and damned for being guilty of the damnation of others. Oh, how will the drunkards cry for leading their neighbors into drunkenness? How will the covetous person howl for setting his neighbor, his friend, his brother, his children and relations, so wicked an example, by which he hath not only wronged his own soul, but also the souls of others? The liar, by lying, learned others to lie. The swearer learned others to swear. The whoremonger learned others to whore. Now all these, with others of the like sort, will be guilty, not only of their own damnation, but also of the damnation of others. I tell you that some men have so much been the authors of the damnation of others, that I am ready to think that the damnation of them will trouble them as much as their own damnation. Some men, it is to be feared, the day of judgment, will be found to be the authors of destroying whole nations. How many souls do you think Balaam, with his deceit, will have to answer for? How many Mahomet? How many the Pharisees that hired the soldiers to say the disciples stole away Jesus? Matthew chapter 18, verses 11 through 15. And by that means stumbled their brethren to this day, and was one means of hindering them from believing the things of God and Jesus Christ, and so the cause of the damnation of their brethren to this very day. How many souls hath Bonner to answer for, think you, and several filthy blind priests? How many souls have they been the means of destroying by their ignorance and corrupt doctrine? Preaching, that was no better for their souls than rat's bane to the body, for filthy lucre's sake, O ye priests, this word is for you. They shall see that they, many of them it is to be feared, will have whole towns to answer for, whole cities to answer for. Ah, friend, I tell thee, thou that hast taken in hand to preach to the people, it may be thou hast taken in hand thou canst not tell what. Will it not grieve thee to see thy whole parish come bellowing after thee to hell, crying out, this we may thank thee for, which is long of thee. Thou didst not teach us the truth. Thou didst lead us away with fables. Thou wast afraid to tell us of our sins, lest we should not put meat fast enough in thy mouth. O cursed wretch, that ever thou shouldst beguile us thus, deceive us thus, flatter us thus. We would have gone out to hear the word abroad, but that thou didst reprove us, and also tell us that that which we see now is the way of God was heresy, and a deceivable doctrine, and wast not contented, blind guide as thou wert, to fall into the ditch thyself, but hast also led us thither with thee. I say, look to thyself, lest thou cry out when it is too late. Send Lazarus to my people, my friends, my children, my congregation to whom I preached and beguiled through my folly. Send him to the town in which I did preach last, lest I be the cause of their damnation. Send him to my friends from whence I came, lest I be made to answer for their souls and mine own too. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 6. Oh, send him therefore, and let him tell them, and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Consider this, ye that live thus in the world, while ye are in the land of the living, lest you fall into this condition. Set the case, thou shouldest by thy carriage destroy but a soul, but one poor soul, by one of thy carriages or actions, by thy sinful works. Consider it now. I say, lest thou be forced to cry, I pray thee therefore that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. If so, then I shall not only say to the blind guides, Look you to yourselves, and shut not out others. No, but this doth reach unto all those that do not only keep souls from heaven by preaching and the like, but speaks forth the doom of those that shall any ways be instrumental to hinder others from closing in with Jesus Christ. Oh, what red lines will those be against all those rich, ungodly landlords that so keep their under their poor tenants that they dare not go out to hear the word for fear their rent should be raised, or they turned out of their houses. What sayest thou, landlord? Will it not cut thy soul when thou shalt see that thou couldst not be content to miss of heaven thyself, but thou must labor to hinder others also? Will it not give thee an eternal wound in thy heart, both at death and judgment, to be accused of the ruin of thy neighbor's soul, thy servant's soul, thy wife's soul, together with the ruin of thy own? Think on this, you drunken, proud, rich, and scornful landlords. Think on this, you mad-brained, blasphemous husbands that are against the godly and chaste conversation of your wives. Also, you that hold your servants so hard to it that you will not spare them time to hear the word, unless it be where and when your lusts will let you. If you love your own souls, your tenants' souls, your wives' souls, your servants' souls, your children's souls, if you would not cry, if you would not howl, if you would not bear the burden of the ruin of others forever, then I beseech you to consider this doleful story and labor to avoid the soul-killing torment that this poor wretch groaneth under when he saith, I pray thee, therefore, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify, Mark, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. These words have something still more in them than I have yet observed from them. There are one or two things more that I shall briefly touch upon, and therefore, Mark, he saith, that he may testify unto them, etc. Mark, I pray you, and take notice of the word, testify. He doth not say, and let him go unto them, or speak with, or tell them such and such things. No, but let him testify, or affirm it constantly, in case any should oppose it. Let him testify unto them. It is the same word the Scripture uses to set forth the vehemency of Christ, telling of his disciples of him that should betray him. And he testified, saying, One of you shall betray me. And he testified, that is, he spake it so as to dash or overcome any that should have said it shall not be. It is a word that signifies that in case any should oppose the thing spoken of, yet that the party speaking should still continue constant in his saying. And he commanded them to preach and to testify, that is, that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To testify, Mark, that is to be constant, irresistible, undaunted, in case it should be opposed and objected against. So here, let him testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. From whence observe, that it is not an easy matter to persuade them who are in their sins, alive in this world, that they must and shall be damned if they turn not, and be converted to God. Let him testify to them. Let him speak confidently, though they frown upon him, or dislike his way of speaking. And how is this truth verified and cleared by the carriages of almost all men now in the world toward them that do preach the gospel, and show their own miserable state plainly to them if they close not with it? If a man do but indeed labor to convince sinners of their sins and lost condition by nature, though they must be damned if they live and die in that condition, oh, how angry are they at it! Look how he judges, say they. Hark how he condemns us. He tells us we must be damned if we live and die in this state. We are offended at him. We cannot abide to hear him, or any such as he. We will believe none of them all, but go on in the way we are a-going. Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? Said the ungodly king to the prophet, when he told him of his sins. 2 Chronicles 25:16. I say, tell the drunkard, he must be damned if he leaves not his drunkenness. The swearer, liar, cheater, thief, covetous, railers, or any ungodly persons, they must and shall lie in hell for it if they die in this condition. They will not believe you nor credit you. Again, tell others that there are many in hell that have lived and died in their conditions, and so are they like to be if they convert not to Jesus Christ and be found in him, or that there are others that are more civil and sober men who, although we know that their civility will not save them, if we do but tell them plainly of the emptiness and unprofitableness of that, as to the saving of their souls, and that God will not accept them, nor love them, notwithstanding these things, and that if they intend to be saved, they must be better provided than with such a righteousness as this. They will either fling away and come to hear no more, or else if they do come, they will bring such prejudice with them in their hearts that the word preached shall not profit them, it being mixed not with faith, but with prejudice in them that hear it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Nay, they will some of them be so full of anger that they will break out and call, even those that speak the truth, heretics, yea, and kill them. Luke chapter 4, verses 25 through 29. And why so? Because they tell them that if they live in their sins, that will damn them. Yet if they turn and live a righteous life according to the holy and just and good law of God, that will not save them. Yea, because we tell them plainly that unless they leave their sins and self-righteousness too, and close in with a naked Jesus Christ, his blood and merits, and what he hath done and is now doing for sinners, they cannot be saved. And unless they do eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, they have no life abiding in them. They grovel presently, and are offended at it, as the Jews were with Christ for speaking the same thing to them. John chapter 6, verses 53 and 60. And fling away themselves, their souls and all, by quarreling against the doctrine of the Son of God, as indeed they do, though they will not believe they do, and therefore he that is a preacher of the word had need not only tell them, but testify to them again and again, that their sins, if they continue in them, will damn them, and damn them again. And tell them again, they're living honestly according to the law, they're paying everyone their own, they're living quietly with their neighbors, they're giving to the poor, their notion of the gospel, and saying they do believe in Christ, will do them no good at the general day of judgment. Ha, friends, how many of you are there at this very day that have been told once and again of your lost, undone condition because you want the right, real, and saving work of God upon your souls? I say, hath not this been told you, yea, testified unto you from time to time, that your state is miserable, that yet you are never the better, but do still stand where you did, some in an open, ungodly life, and some drowned in a self-conceited holiness of Christianity? Therefore, for God's sake, if you love your souls, consider and beg of God for Jesus Christ's sake, that he would work such a work of grace in your hearts and give you such a faith in his Son Jesus Christ that you may not only have rest here as you think, not only think your state safe while you live here, but that you may be safe indeed, not only here, but also when you are gone, lest you do cry in the anguish and perplexity of your souls. Send one to my companions that have been beguiled by Satan as I have been, and so, by going on, come into this place of torment as I have done. Again, one thing more is to be observed from these words. Let him testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Mark, lest they come in. As if he had said, or else they will come into this place of torment as sure as I am here. From whence observe, that though some souls do for sin fall into the bottomless pit of hell before their fellows, because they depart this world before them, yet the other, abiding in the same course, are assured to go to the same place as if they were there already. How so? Because they all are condemned together. They have all fallen under the same law, and have all offended the same justice, and must for certain, they die in that condition, drink as deep, if not deeper, of the same destruction. Mark, I pray you what the scriptures say. He that believeth not is condemned already. He is condemned as well as they, having broken the same law with them. If so, then what hinders but they will partake of the same destruction with them? Only the one hath not the law yet so executed upon them. Because they are here, the other have had the law executed upon them. They are gone to drink that which they have been brewing, and thou art brewing that in this life which thou must certainly drink. The same law, I say, is in force against you both, only he is executed, and thou art not. Just as if there were a company of prisoners at the bar, and all condemned to die. What, because they are not all executed in one day, therefore shall they not be executed at all? Yes, the same law that executed its severity upon the parties now deceased will for certain be executed on them that are alive in its appointed time. Even so is it here, or even so it is here. We are all condemned by nature. If we close not in with the grace of God by Jesus Christ, we must and shall be destroyed with the same destruction. And therefore, send him, saith he, lest, Mark, lest they also come into this place of torment. Again, send him to my father's house, and let him testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. As if he had said, it may be he may prevail with them, it may be he may win upon them, and so they may be kept from hence, from coming into this grievous place of torment. Observe again, that there is a possibility of obtaining mercy, if now I say, now in this day of grace, we turn from our sins to Jesus Christ. Yea, it is more than possible, and therefore, for thy encouragement, do thou know for certain that if thou shalt in this thy day, accept of mercy upon God's own terms, and close with him effectually, God hath promised, yea, made many promises, that thy soul shall be conducted safe to glory, and shall for certain escape all the evils that I have told thee of, aye, and many more than I can imagine. Do but search the scriptures and see how full of consolation they are to a poor soul that is minded to close in with Jesus Christ. Him that cometh to me, saith Christ, I will in no wise cast out. Though he be an old sinner, I will in no wise cast him out. Mark, in no wise. Though he be a great sinner, I will in no wise cast him out if he come to me, though he have slighted me never so many times, and not regarded the welfare of his own soul, yet let him now come to me, And notwithstanding this, I will in no wise cast him out, nor throw away his soul. John chapter 6, verse 37. Again saith the apostle, now, Mark, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of their salvation. Now here is mercy in good store. Now God's heart is open to sinners. Now he will make you welcome. Now he will receive anybody if they do but come to Christ. He that cometh to me, saith Christ, I will in no wise cast out. And why? Because now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. As if the apostle had said, if you will have mercy, have it now. Receive it now. Close in with it now. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, part 6. God hath a certain day to hold out his grace to sinners. Now is the time. Now is the day. It is true, there is a day of damnation, but this is a day of salvation. There is a day coming wherein sinners must cry to the mountains to fall on them, or to the hills to cover them from the wrath of God. But now, now is the day in which he doth hold out his grace. There is a day coming in which you will not be admitted to have the privilege of one drop of water to cool your tongue. If now, I say, if now you slight his grace and goodness which he holds out to you. Ah, friends, consider, there is now hopes of mercy, but then there will not. Now Christ holds forth mercy unto you, but then he will not. Matthew 7, verse 23. Now there are his servants that do beseech you to accept of his grace. But if thou lose the opportunity that is put into thine hand, thou thyself mayest beseech hereafter, and no mercy be given thee. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. And thee was none given. Therefore, let it never be said of thee, as it will be said of some. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool, seeing he hath no heart to it? Seeing he hath no heart to make a good use of it. Proverbs 17, verse 16. Consider therefore with thyself and say, it is better going to heaven than hell. It is better to be saved than damned. It is better to be with saints than with damned souls. And to go to God is better than to go to the devil. Therefore, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Lest in thy trouble he leave thee to thyself, and say unto thee plainly, where I am, thither ye cannot come. John chapter 8, verse 21. Oh, if they that are in hell might now again have one such invitation as this, how would they leap for joy? I have thought sometimes, should God send but one of his ministers to the damned in hell, and give him commission to preach the free love of God in Christ extended to them, and held out to them, if now, while it is pro-offered to them, they will accept of his kindness, oh, how welcome would they make this news, and close in with it on any terms. Certainly they would say, we will accept of grace on any terms in the world, and thank you too, though it cost life and limbs to boot, we will spare no cost nor charge if mercy may be had. But poor souls, while they live here, they will not part from sin, with hell-bred devilish sin. No, they would rather lose their souls than lose their filthy sins. But friend, thou wilt change thy note before it be long, and cry, O simple wretch that I am, that I should damn my soul by sin. It is true, I have had the gospel preached to me, and have been invited in. I have been preached to, and have been warned of this. But how I have hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the words of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Proverbs 5, verses 12 and 13. Oh, therefore I say, poor soul, is there hope? Then lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and kiss the dust, and close in with the Lord Jesus Christ, and make much of his glorious mercy. And invite also thy companions to close in with the same Lord Jesus Christ, lest one of you do go to hell beforehand, and expect with grief of heart of your companions to come after. And in the meantime, with anguish of heart, do sigh and say, Oh, send him to my companions, and let him testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Use and application of the preceding portion of the parable. Now then, from what hath been said, there might many things be spoken by way of use and application, but I shall be very brief and but touch some things and so wind up. And first, I shall begin with the sad condition of those that die out of Christ, and speak something to that. Secondly, to the latter end of the parable, which more evidently concerns the Scripture, and speak somewhat to that. First, I shall begin with the sad condition of those that die out of Christ. Number one. Therefore you see that the former part of the parable contains a sad declaration of the state of one living and dying out of Christ, how that they lose heaven for hell, God for the devil, light for darkness, joy for sorrow. Number two. How they have not so much as the least comfort from God, who in the time they live here below neglect coming to him for mercy, not so much as one drop of cold water. Number three, that such souls will repent of their folly when repentance will do them no good, or when they shall be past recovery. Number four, that all the comfort such souls are like to have, they have it in this world. Number five, that all their groanings and sighs will not move God to mitigate in the least his heavy hand of vengeance that is upon them, for the transgression they have committed against him. Number six, that their sad state is irrecoverable, or they must never, mark, never come out of that condition. Number seven, their desires will not be hard for their ungodly neighbors. From these things, then, I pray you consider the state of those that die out of Christ Jesus. Yea, I say, consider their miserable state, and think thus with thyself. Well, if I neglect coming to Christ, I must go to the devil, and he will not neglect to fetch me away into those intolerable torments. Think thus with myself. What, shall I lose a long heaven for a short pleasure? Shall I buy the pleasures of this world at so dear a rate as to lose my soul for the obtaining of that? Shall I content myself with heaven that will last no longer than my lifetime? What advantage will these be to me when the Lord shall separate soul and body asunder, and send one to the grave, the other to hell, and at judgment day the final sentence of eternal ruin must be passed upon me? Number one, consider that the profits, pleasures, and vanities of this world will not last forever, but the time is coming, yea, just at the doors, when they will give thee the slip, and leave thee in the suds, and in the brambles of all that thou hast done. And therefore, to prevent this, number two, consider thy dismal state. Think thus with thyself, is it true? It is true. I do love my sins, my lusts, and pleasures. But what good will they do me at the day of death and judgment? Will my sins do me good then? Will they be able to help me when I come to fetch my last breath? What good will my profits do me? And what good will my vanities do when death says he will have no? Nay, what good will all my companions, fellow jesters, jeerers, liars, drunkards, and all my wantons do me? Will they help to ease the pains of hell? Will these help to turn the hand of God from inflicting his fierce anger upon me? Nay. Will not they rather cause God to show me no mercy, to give me no comfort, but rather to thrust me down in the hottest place of hell, where I may swim in fire and brimstone?
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary, Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.
Would I be glad to be bound up in them as the three children were bound in their clothes, and to be as really thrown in the fiery furnace of the wrath of Almighty God as they were into Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace? Number 4. Consider thus. Would I be glad to have all and every one of the Ten Commandments to discharge themselves against my soul? The first saying, "Damn him, for he hath broken me." The second saying, "Damn him, for he hath broken me," etc. Consider how terrible this will be, yea, more terrible than if thou shouldest have 10 of the biggest pieces of ordnance in England to be discharged against thy body. Thunder, thunder, one after another. Nay, this would not be comparable to the reports that the law, for the breach thereof, will give against thy soul. But for those can but kill the body, but these will kill both body and soul, and that not for an hour, a day, a month, or a year, but they will condemn me forever. Mark, it is forever, forever. It is into everlasting damnation, eternal destruction, eternal wrath and displeasure from God, eternal gnawings of conscience, eternal continuance with devils. Oh, consider, it may be the thought of seeing the devil doth now make thine hair to stand right up on thine head. Oh, but this, to be damned, to be among all the devils, and that not only for a time, as I said before, but forever, to all eternity, this is wonderfully miserable, ever miserable, that no tongue of man, no nor of angels, is able to express it. Number 5. Consider much with thyself. Not only my sins against the law will be laid to my charge, but also the sins I have committed in slighting the gospel, the glorious gospel. These also must come with a voice against me, as thus, nay, he is worthy to be damned, for he rejected the gospel. He slighted the free grace of God tendered in the gospel. How many times wast thou, damned wretch, invited, entreated, beseeched to come to Christ, to accept mercy, that thou mightest have heaven, thy sins pardoned, thy soul saved, and body and soul glorified, and all this for nothing but the acceptance, and through faith forsaking those imps of Satan, which by their embracements have drawn thee downward toward the gulf of God's eternal displeasure. How often didst thou read the promises, yea, the free promises of the common salvation? How oft didst thou read the sweet counsels and admonitions of the gospel to accept the grace of God? But thou wouldst not, thou regardest it not, thou didst slight all. Second, as I would have thee to consider the sad and woeful state of those that die out of Christ and are past all recovery, so would I have thee consider the many mercies and privileges thou enjoyest above some, peradventure of thy companions that are departed to their proper place, as, number one, consider thou hast still the thread of thy life lengthened, for which thy sins might 7 years ago or more have been cut asunder, and thou have dropped down amongst the flames. Number two, consider the terms of reconciliation by faith in Christ are still pro-offered unto thee, and thou invited, yea, entreated, to accept of them. Number three, consider the terms of reconciliation are but bear with me, though I say, but only to believe in Jesus Christ with that faith that purifies the heart and enables thy soul to feed on him effectually and be saved from this sad state. Number four, consider the time of thy departure is at hand, and the time is uncertain, and also that for aught thou knowest, the day of grace may be passed to thee before thou diest, not lasting so long as thy uncertain life in this world. And if so, then know for certain that thou art as sure to be damned as if thou wast in hell already, if thou convert not in the meanwhile. Number five, consider, it may be some of thy friends are giving all diligence to make their calling and election sure, being resolved for heaven, and thou might thyself endeavorest as fast to make sure of hell as if resolved to have it. And together with this, consider how it will grieve thee that while thou wast making sure of hell, thy friends were making sure of heaven. But more of this by and by. Number six, consider what a sad reflection this will have on thy soul to see thy friends in heaven and thyself in hell, thy father in heaven and thou in hell, thy mother in heaven and thou in hell, thy brother, thy sister, thy children in heaven and thou in hell. As Christ said to the Jews of their relations according to the flesh, so may I say to thee concerning thy friends. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see your fathers and mothers, brethren and sisters, husbands and wives, children and kinfolk, with your friends and neighbors in the kingdom of heaven, and thou thyself thrust out. Luke chapter 13, verses 27 through 29. But again, because I would not only tell thee of the damnable state of those that die out of Christ, but also persuade thee to take hold of life and go to heaven, take notice of these following things. Number one, consider that whatever thou canst do as to thy acceptance with God is not worth the dirt of thy shoes, but is all as filthy rags, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 6. Number two, consider that all the conditions of the new covenant as to salvation are and have been completely fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that for sinners. Number three, consider that the Lord calls to thee for to receive whatsoever Christ hath done, and that on free cost. Revelation 22, verse 17. Number four, consider that thou canst not honor God more than to close in with his pro-offers of grace, mercy, and pardon of sin. Romans 4. Again, that which will add to all the rest, thou shalt have the very mercy of God, the blood of Christ, the preachers of the word, together with every sermon, all the promises, invitations, exhortations, and all the counsels and threatenings of the blessed word of God. Thou shalt have all thy thoughts, words, and actions, together with all thy food, thy raiment, thy sleep, thy goods, and also all hours, days, weeks, months and years, together with whatsoever else God hath given thee. I say, thy abuse of all these shall come up in judgment against thy soul, for God will reckon with thee for everything, whether it be good or bad. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14. Number 5. Nay, further, it is so unreasonable a thing for a sinner to refuse the gospel that the very devils themselves will come in against thee, as well as Sodom, that damned crew. May not they, I say, come in against thee and say, O thou simple man, O vile wretch, that had not so much care of thy soul, thy precious soul, as the beast hath of its young, or the dog of the very bone that lieth before him. Was thy soul worth so much, and didst thou so little regard it? Were the thunder clasps of the law so terrible, and didst thou so slight them? Besides, was the gospel so freely, so frequently, so fully tendered to thee, and yet hast thou rejected all these things? Hast thou valued sin at a higher rate than thy soul, than God, Christ, angels, saints, and communion with them in eternal blessedness and glory? Wast thou not told of hell fire, those intolerable flames? Didst thou never hear of the intolerable roarings of the damned ones that are therein? Didst thou never hear or read that doleful saying in Luke 16, how the sinful man cries out among the flames, one drop of water to cool my tongue? Thus, I say, may the very devils, being ready to go with thee into the burning furnace of fire and brimstone, though not for sins of so high a nature as thine, trembling, say, O that Christ had died for devils as he died for man, and O that the gospel had been preached to us as it hath been to thee, how would we have labored to close in with it? But woe be to us, for we might never have proffered it, no, not in the least, though we would have been glad of it. But you have it proffered, preached, and proclaimed unto you, Proverbs 8, verse 4. Besides, you have been entreated and beseeched to accept of it, but you would not, O simple fools, that might have escaped wrath, vengeance, hell fire, and that to all eternity, and had no heart at all to do it. Number 6. May not the messengers of Jesus Christ also come in with a shrill and terrible note against thy soul when thou standest at the bar of God's justice, saying, Nay, thou ungodly one, how often hast thou been forewarned of this day? Did we not sound an alarm in thine ears by the trumpet of God's word day after day? How often didst thou hear us tell thee of these things? Did we not tell thee sin would damn thy soul? Did we not tell thee that without conversion there was no salvation? Did we not tell thee that they who love their sins should be damned at this dark and gloomy day, as thou art like to be? Yea, did we not tell thee that God, out of his love to sinners, sent Christ to die for them, that they might by coming to him be saved? Did not we tell thee of these things? Did we not run, hide, labor, and strive abundantly, if it might have been for the good of thy soul, though now a damned soul? Did we not venture our goods, our names, our lives? Yea, did we not even kill ourselves with our earnest entreaties of thee to consider of thine estate, and by Christ to escape this dreadful day? O sad doom, when thou shalt be forced full sore against thy will to fall into the truth of this judgment, saying, O how have I hated instruction, and how hath my heart despised reproof? For indeed, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to hear them that instructed me. May not thy father, thy mother, thy brother, thy sister, thy friend, etc., appear with gladness against thee at the terrible day, saying, O thou silly wretch, how rightly hath God met with thee! O how righteously doth his sentence pass upon thee! remember, thou wouldst not be ruled nor persuaded in thy lifetime. As thou didst not care for us and our admonitions then, so neither do we care for thy ruin, terror, and damnation now. No, but we will stand on God's side in sentencing of thee to that portion which the devils must be partakers of. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Psalm 58, verse 10. Oh, sad! It is enough to make mountains tremble and the rocks rend in pieces to hear this doleful sound. Consider these things, and if thou wouldst be loath to be in this condition, then have a care of living in sin now. How loath wilt thou be to be thrust away from the gates of heaven, and how loath wilt thou be to be deprived of the mercy of God. How unwillingly wilt thou set foot forward towards the lake of fire. Never did malefactor so willingly or unwillingly turn off the ladder when the halter was about his neck, as thou wilt turn from God to the devil, from heaven to hell, when the sentence is passed upon thy soul. Oh, how wilt thou sigh and groan! How willingly wouldst thou hide thyself and run away from justice! But alas, as it is with them that are on the ladder, ready to be executed, so it will be with thee. They would fain run away, but there are many halbert men to stay them. And so the angels of God will beset thee round, I say, round on every side, so that thou mayest indeed look, but run thou canst not. Thou mayest wish thyself under some rock or mountain, Revelation 6, 15 and 16. But how to get under, thou knowest not. Oh, how unwilling wilt thou be to let thy father go to heaven without thee, thy mother or friends, etc., to go to heaven without thee. How willingly wouldst thou hang on them and not let them go. Oh, father, cannot you help me? Mother, cannot you do me some good? Oh, how loath am I to burn and fry in hell while you are singing in heaven. But alas, the father, mother, or friends reject them, slight them, and turn their backs upon them, saying, you would have none of heaven in your lifetime, therefore you shall have none of it now. You slighted our counsels then, and we slight your tears, cries, and condition now. What sayest thou, sinner? Will this not persuade thine heart, nor make thee bethink thyself? This is now before thou fall into that dreadful place, that fiery furnace. But, oh, consider how dreadful the place itself, the devils themselves, the fire itself will be, and this at the end of all. Here thou must lie forever. Here thou must fry forever and forever. This will be more to thee than any man with tongue can express or with pen can write. There is none that can, I say, by the 10,000th part, discover the state and condition of such a soul. I shall conclude this, then, with a few considerations of encouragement. First encouragement. Consider, for I would fain have thee come in, sinner, that there is a way made by Jesus Christ for them that are under the curse of God to come to this comfortable and blessed state of Lazarus I was speaking of. See Ephesians 2. Second encouragement. Consider, what pains Christ Jesus took for the ransoming of thy soul from all the curses, thunderclaps, and tempests of the law, from all the intolerable flames of hell, from that soul-sinking appearance of thy person on the left hand before the judgment seat of Christ Jesus, from everlasting fellowship with innumerable companies of yelling and soul-amazing devils. I say, consider what pains the Lord Jesus Christ took in bringing redemption for sinners from these things. In that though he was rich, yet he became poor, that he, through his poverty, might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He laid aside his glory, John 17, and became a servant, Philippians 2, 7. He left the company of angels and encountered with the devil, Luke 4, Matthew 4. He left heaven's ease for a time to lie upon hard mountains, Luke chapter 6, verse 12, John chapter 8, verse 1. In a word, he became poorer than they that go with flail and rake, yea, than the very birds or foxes, and all to do thee good. Besides, consider a little of these unspeakable and intolerable slightings and rejections, and the manifold abuses that came from men upon him. How he was falsely accused, being a sweet, harmless, and undefiled lamb. How he was undervalued, so that a murderer was counted less worthy of condemnation than he. Besides, how they mocked him, spit on him, beat him over the head with staves, had the hair plucked from his cheeks. I gave my back to the smiter, saith he, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. His head crowned with thorns, his hands pierced with nails, and his side with a spear, together with how they used him, scourged him, and so miserably misusing him, that they had even spent him in a great measure before they did crucify him, insomuch that there was another fain to carry his cross. Again, third encouragement. Not only this, but lay to heart a little what he received from God, his dear Father, though he were his dear and tender Son. Number one, that he did reckon him the greatest sinner and rebel in the world, for he laid the sins of thousands, ten thousands, and thousands of sinners to his charge, Isaiah 53, and caused him to drink the terrible cup that was due to them all, and not only so, but did delight in so doing, for it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God dealt indeed with his Son as Abraham would have dealt with Isaac. Aye, and more terribly by 10,000 parts. For he did not only tear his body like a lion, but made his soul an offering for sin. And this was not done feignedly, but really for justice called it. He standing in the room of sinners, witnessed that horrible and unspeakable agony that fell on him suddenly in the garden, as if all the vials of God's unspeakable scalding vengeance had been cast upon him all at once, and all the devils in hell had broken loose from thence at once to destroy him, and that forever, insomuch that the very pangs of death seized upon him in the same hour. For, saith he, my soul is exceeding sorrowful and sore amazed, even unto death. Mark chapter 14, verse 34. Number two, witness also that strange kind of sweat that trickled down most his blessed face, where it is said, and he sweat, as it were, great drops or clotters of blood trickling down to the ground. O Lord Jesus, what a load didst thou carry, what a burden didst thou bear of the sins of the world and the wrath of God. O thou didst not only bleed in nose and mouth with the pressure that lay upon me, but thou wast so pressed, so loaden, that the pure blood gushed through the flesh and skin, and so ran trickling down to the ground. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood, trickling or falling down to the ground. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Canst thou read this, O thou wicked sinner, and yet go on in sin? Canst thou think of this and defer repentance 1 hour longer? O heart of flint, yea, harder, O miserable wretch, what place in hell will be hot enough for thee to have thy soul put into, if thou shalt persist or go on still to add iniquity to iniquity? Number three. Besides, his soul went down to hell, and his body to the bars of the grave. Psalm 16:10, Acts 2, verse 31. And had hell, death, or the grave been strong enough to hold him, then he had suffered the vengeance of eternal fire to all eternity. But, O blessed Jesus, how didst thou discover thy love to man in thy thus suffering? And, O God the Father, how didst thou also declare thy purity and exactness of thy justice in that, though it was thine only, holy, innocent, harmless, and undefiled Son Jesus, that did take on him our nature and represent our persons, answering for our sins instead of ourselves. Thou didst so wonderfully pour out thy wrath upon him, to the making of him crying out, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And, O Lord Jesus, what a glorious conquest hast thou made over the enemies of our souls, even wrath, sin, death, hell, and devils, in that thou didst wring thyself from under the power of them all. And not only so, but hast led them captive which would have led us captive, and also hast received for us that glorious and unspeakable inheritance that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man to conceive, and also hast given thine some discovery thereof through thy Spirit. And now, sinner, together with this, consider. Number 4. That though Jesus Christ hath done all these things for sinners, yet the devils make it their whole work, and continually study how they may keep thee and others from enjoying of these blessed privileges that have been thus obtained for sinners by this sweet Jesus. He labors, I say, number 1, to keep thee ignorant of thy state by nature. Number 2, to harden thy heart against the ways of God. Number 3, to inflame thy heart with love to sin and the ways of darkness. And number 4, to get thee to continue herein. For that is the way, he knows, to get thee to be a partaker with him of flaming hell fire, even the same that he himself has fallen into, together with the rest of the wicked world, by reason of sin. Look to it, therefore. Fourth encouragement. But now, in the next place, a word of encouragement to you that are the saints of the Lord. Number 1. Consider what a happy state thou art in that hast gotten the faith of the Lord Jesus into thy soul. But be sure that thou have it. I say, how safe, how sure, how happy art thou? For when others go to hell, thou must go to heaven. When others go to the devil, thou must go to God. As when others go to prison, thou must be set at liberty, at ease, and at freedom. When others must roar for sorrow of heart, then thou shalt also sing for the joy of heart. Number 2. Consider thou must have all thy well-spent life to follow thee, instead of all thy sins and the glorious blessings of the gospel, instead of the dreadful curses and condemnations of the law, the blessing of the Father, instead of a fiery sentence from the judge. Number 3. Let disillusion come when it will. It can do thee no harm, for it will be but only a passage out of a prison into a palace, out of a sea of troubles into a haven of rest, out of a crowd of enemies to an innumerable company of true, loving, and faithful friends, out of shame, reproach, and contempt, into exceeding great and eternal glory. For death shall not hurt thee with his sting, nor bite thee with his soul-murdering teeth, but shall be a welcome guest to thee, even to thy soul, in that it is sent to free thee from thy troubles, which thou art in whilst here in this world, dwelling in the tabernacle of clay. Number 4. Consider, however it goes with friends and relations, yet it will go well with thee. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 12. However it goes with the wicked, yet surely I know. Mark. Yet surely I know, saith he, that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. And therefore let this, number 1, in the first place, cause thee cheerfully to exercise thy patience under all the calamities, crosses, troubles, and afflictions that may come upon thee, and, by patient continuance in well-doing, to commit both thyself and thine affairs and actions into the hands of God, through Jesus Christ, as to a faithful Creator, who is true in his word, and loveth to give unto thee whatsoever he hath promised to thee. Number 2. And therefore, to encourage thee while thou art here with comfort, to hold on for all thy crosses in this thy journey, be much in considering the place that thou must go into so soon as disillusion comes. it must be into heaven, to God, the judge of all, to an innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, and to Jesus, to the Redeemer, who is the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things for thee than Abel's did for Cain. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Number 3, consider that when the time of the dead, that they shall be raised, is come, then shall thy body be raised out of the grave and be glorified, and be made like to Christ, to Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:21. Oh, excellent condition. Number 4. When Jesus Christ shall sit on the throne of his glory, you also shall sit with him, even when he shall sit on the throne of his glory. Oh, will not this be glorious, that when thousands and thousands of thousands shall be arraigned before the judgment seat of Christ, then for them to sit with him upon the throne, together with him to pass the sentence upon the ungodly? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. Will it not be glorious to enjoy those things that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man to conceive? Will it not be glorious to have this sentence, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world"? Will it not be glorious to enter then with the angels and saints into that glorious kingdom? Will it not be glorious for thee to be in glory with them?
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.
To think that the devil hath not got thy soul, that thy soul should be saved, and that not from a little, but from an exceeding danger, not with a little, but a great salvation. Oh, therefore, let the saints be joyful in glory, let them triumph over all their enemies, let them begin to sing heaven upon earth, triumph before they come to glory, salvation, even when they are in the midst of their enemies, for this honor have all his saints. Psalm 149, verse 9. Verse 29. Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." In the verses foregoing, you see there is a discovery of the lamentable state of the poor soul that dies out of Christ, and the special favor of God, and also how little the glorious God of heaven doth regard and take notice of their most miserable condition. Now in this verse, he doth magnify the word which was spoken to the people by the prophets and apostles. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. As if he should say, Thou askest me that I should send Lazarus back again into the world to preach to them that live there, that they might escape that doleful place that thou art in. What needs that? Have they not Moses and the prophets? Have they not had my ministers and servants sent unto them and coming as from me? I sent Enoch and Noah, Moses and Samuel. I sent David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and the rest of the prophets, together with Peter, Paul, John, Matthew, James, Jude, with the rest. Let them hear them. What? They have spoken by divine inspiration, I will own, whether it be for the damnation of those that reject, or the saving of them that receive their doctrine. And therefore, what need have they that one should be sent unto them in another way? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Let them receive their word. Close in with the doctrine declared by them. I shall not at this time speak anything to that word, Abraham, having touched upon it already, but shall tell you what is to be understood by these words. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. The things that I shall observe from hence are these. First, that the scriptures spoken by the holy men of God are a sufficient rule to instruct to salvation them that do assuredly believe and close in with what they hold forth. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That is, if they would escape that doleful place and be saved indeed from the intolerable pains of hell fire as they desire, they have that which is sufficient to counsel them. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them be instructed by them. Let them hear them. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Do but mark these words. All scripture is profitable. All. Take it where you will, and in what place you will. All is profitable. For what? That the man of God, or he that is bound for heaven, and would instruct others in their progress thither. It is profitable to instruct him in case he be ignorant, to reprove him in case he transgress, to correct him if he hath need of it, to confirm him if he be wavering. It is profitable for doctrine, and all this in a very righteous way, that the poor soul may not only be helped, but thoroughly furnished, not only to some, but to all good works. And when Paul would counsel Timothy to stick close to the things that are sound and sure, presently he puts him upon the scripture, saying, From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The scripture holds forth God's mind and will of his love and mercy towards man, and also the creature's carriage towards him from first to last. So if thou wouldst know the love of God in Christ to sinners, then search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of him. Wouldst thou know what thou art and what is in thine heart? Then search the scriptures and see what is written in them. Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 18. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Chapter 8, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, with many others. The scriptures, I say, they are able to give a man perfect instruction into any of the things of God necessary to faith and godliness, if he hath but an honest heart, seriously to weigh and ponder the several things contained in them. As to instance, things more particular for the further clearing up of this, and first if we come to the creation of the world. Wouldst thou know something concerning that? Then read Genesis 1 and 2, and compare them with Psalm 33, verse 6, also Isaiah 66, verse 2, Proverbs 8 towards the end. Wouldst thou know whether he made them of something or nothing? Read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Wouldst thou know whether he put forth any labor in making them, as we do in making things? Read Psalm 33, verse 9. If thou wouldst know whether man was made by God corrupt or upright, read Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, Genesis 1, verse 10, 18, 25, and 31. Wouldst thou know where God did place man after he made him? Read Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Wouldst thou know whether that man did live there all his time or not? Then read Genesis 3, 23 and 24. If thou wouldst know whether man be still in that state by nature that God did place him in, then read Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29, and compare it with Romans 5, 16, Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. God made men upright, but they have sought out many inventions. If thou wouldst know whether the man were first beguiled, or the woman, that God made an helpmate for him, read Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and compare with 1 Timothy 2, verse 14. Wouldst thou know whether God looked upon Adam's eating the fruit of the forbidden tree to be sin or no? Read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, and compare it with Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Wouldst thou know whether it were the devil who beguiled them, or whether it was a natural serpent, such as to haunt the desolate places? Read Genesis chapter 3, verse 13, with Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. Wouldst thou know whether that sin be imputed to us? Read Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 15, and compare it with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wouldst thou know whether man was cursed for his sin? Read Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, Romans chapter 5, verse 15. Wouldst thou know whether the curse did fall on man or on the whole creation with him? Compare Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, with Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. Wouldst thou know whether man be defiled in every part of him by the sin he hath committed? Then read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6. Wouldst thou know man's inclination so soon as he is born? Read Psalm 58, verse 3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. Wouldst thou know whether man, once fallen from God by transgression, can recover himself by all he can do? Then read Romans chapter 3, verses 20 and 23. Wouldst thou know whether it be the desire of the heart of man by nature to follow God in his own way, or no? Compare Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, and Genesis chapter 8, verses 21, with Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. Wouldst thou know how God's heart stood affected toward man before the world began? Compare Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, with 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Wouldst thou know whether sin were sufficient to draw God's love from his creatures? Compare Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 7, and Micah chapter 7, verse 18, with Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Wouldst thou know whether God's love did still abide toward his creatures for anything they could do to him or to make him amends? Then read Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. Wouldst thou know how God could still love his creatures and do his justice no wrong? Read Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 26. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation for sin, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. That is, God having his justice satisfied in the blood and righteousness and death of his own Son, Jesus Christ, for the sins of poor sinners. He can now save them that come to him, though never so great sinners, and do his justice no wrong, because it hath had a full and complete satisfaction given it by that blood. 1 John 1:7-8. Wouldst thou know who he was and what he was that did out of his love die for sinners? Then compare John 3:16-17, Romans 5:8, with Isaiah 9:6. Wouldst thou know whether this Savior had a body of flesh and bones before the world was, or took it from the Virgin Mary? Then read Galatians 4:4. Wouldst thou know whether he did in that body bear all our sins, and where? Then read 1 Peter 2:24, who bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Wouldst thou know whether he did rise again after he was crucified with the very same body? Then read Luke 24:38-41. Wouldst thou know whether he did eat or drink with his disciples after he rose out of the grave? Then read Luke 24:42 and Acts 10:41. If thou wouldst be persuaded of the truth of this, that that very body is now above the clouds and stars, read Acts 1:9-11 and Luke 24 toward the end. If thou wouldst know that the Quakers hold an error that say the body of Christ is within them, consider the same scripture. Wouldst thou know that, or wouldst thou know what that Christ that died for sinners is doing in that place whither he is gone? Then read Hebrews 7:24. Wouldst thou know who shall have life by him? Read 1 Timothy 1:14-15, and Romans 5:6-8, which say, Christ died for sinners, for the ungodly. Wouldst thou know whether they that live and die in their sins shall go to heaven or not? Then read 1 Corinthians 6:10, Revelation 21:8, and 27, which saith, they shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Wouldst thou know whether man's obedience will obtain that Christ should die for them or save them? Then read Mark 2:17, Romans 5:6-7. Wouldst thou know whether righteousness, justification, and sanctification do come through the virtue of Christ's blood? Compare Romans 5:9 with Hebrews 12:12. Wouldst thou know whether natural man can abstain from the outward act of sin against the law merely by a principle of nature? Then compare well Romans 2:14 with Philippians 3:6. Wouldst thou know whether a man by nature may know something of the invisible things of God? Compare seriously Romans 1:20-21 with Romans 2:14-15. Wouldst thou know how far a man may go on in a profession of the gospel and yet fall away? Then read Hebrews 6:4-6. They may taste the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. They may taste the heavenly gift and be partakers of the Holy Ghost, and yet so fall as never to be recovered or renewed again unto repentance. See also Luke 13. Wouldst thou know how hard it is to go to heaven? Read Matthew 7:13-14, Luke 13:24. Wouldst thou know whether a man by nature to be a friend to God or an enemy? Then read Romans 5:10. Colossians 1:21. Wouldst thou know what or who they are that shall go to heaven? Then read John 3:3-7 and 2 Corinthians 5:17. Also, wouldst thou know what a sad thing it is for any to turn their backs upon the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then read Hebrews 10:28-29 and Mark 16:16. Wouldst thou know what is the wages of sin? Then read Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Wouldst thou know whither those do go that die unconverted to the faith of Christ. Then read Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, and Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. Reader, here might I spend many sheets of paper, yea, I might upon this subject write a very great book, but I shall now forbear, desiring thee to be very conversant in the Scriptures, for they are which testify of Jesus Christ, John chapter 5, verse 39. The Bereans were counted noble upon this account. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, etc. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. But here let me give thee one caution, that is, have a care that thou do not satisfy thyself with a bare search of them, without a real application of him whom they testify of to thy soul, lest instead of faring the better for thy doing this work, thou dost fare a great deal the worse, and thy condemnation be very much heightened, in that thou didst read so often the sad state of those that die in sin, and the glorious estate of them that close in with Christ, yet thou thyself shouldest be such a fool as to lose Jesus Christ, notwithstanding thy hearing and reading so plentifully of him. They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. As if he should say, what need have they that one should be sent to them from the dead? Had they not Moses and the prophets? Hath not Moses told them the danger of living in sin? Deuteronomy 27, verses 15 through 26. Deuteronomy 28, verses 15 through 68. Deuteronomy 29, verses 18 through 22. Hath he not there told them what a sad state those persons are in that deceive themselves with the deceit of their hearts, saying they shall have peace, though they follow their sins? In these words, and when he heareth the words of this curse, he blesseth himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I go on, or walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Again, did not Moses write of the Savior that was to come afterward into the world? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Nay, have not all the prophets from Samuel, with all those that follow after, prophesied and foretold these things? Therefore, what need have they that I should work such a miracle as to send one from the dead unto them? They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Second, from whence observe again, that God doth honor the writings of Moses and the prophets as much, nay more, than if one should rise from the dead. Should not a people seek unto their God? What, seek for the living among the dead? To the law and to the testimony, saith God, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. And let me tell you plainly, I do believe that the devil knows this full well, which makes him labor to beget in the hearts of his disciples and followers light thoughts of them, and doth persuade them that even a motion from their own beguiled conscience or from his own wicked spirit is to be observed and obeyed before them. When the very apostle of Jesus Christ, though he heard a voice from the excellent glory saying, This is my beloved Son, etc., yet writing to the churches, he commends the writing of the prophets before it, saying, We also have a more sure word of the prophets, to which ye do well to take heed, etc. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 19. Now if thou doubtest whether that place be meant the Scriptures, the words of the prophets, or no, read but the next verse, where he addeth for a certain confirmation thereof these words, Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And therefore, What a sad thing it is for those that go about to disown the scriptures. I tell you, however they may slight them now, yet when they come into hell, they will see their folly. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Further, who are they that are so tossed to and fro with the several winds of doctrine that have been broached in these days, but such for the most part as have had a light esteem of the scriptures, for the ground of error, as Christ saith, is because they know not them. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. And indeed, it is just with God to give them over to follow their own dark, blinded consciences, to be led into errors, that they might be damned into hell, who did not believe that the things contained in the Scripture were the truth, that they might be saved and go to heaven. I cannot well tell how to have done speaking for, and on the Scripture side, only this I consider. A word is enough to the wise, and therefore I shall commit these things into the hands of them that are of God, and as for the rest, I shall say to them, rather than God will save them from hell with the breach of his holy word, if they had 1,000 souls apiece, God would destroy them all, for the Scripture cannot be broken. John chapter 10, verse 35. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell, Part 7, by John Bunyan. Verse 30. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. The verse before, you know, as I told you, it was part of an answer to such as lose their souls. So, it is a vindication of the scriptures of Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Now this verse is an answer to what was said in the former, and such an one as hath in it a rejection of the former answer. Nay, Father Abraham. Nay, saith he, do not say so. Do not put them off with this. Send one from the dead, then there will be some hopes. It is true thou speakest of the Scripture, of Moses and the prophets, and sayest, let them hear them. But these things are not so well as I could wish. I had rather thou wouldest send one from the dead. In these words, therefore, Nay, Father Abraham, there is a repulse given. Nay, let it not be so. Nay, I do not like of that answer. Hear Moses and the prophets. Nay. The same expression is used by Christ, Luke chapter 13, verses 2 and 3. Think you that they upon whom the tower of Siloam fell were sinners above others? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So hear, Nay, Father Abraham, etc. By this word, nay, therefore, is signifying a rejecting of the first answer. Now observe, I pray you. The reason why he says nay is because God doth put over all those that will be saved to observe and receive the truth contained in Scripture and believe that, to have a high esteem of them and to love and search them, as Christ saith, search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. John chapter 5, verse 39. But the damned say, Nay, as if he had said, This is the thing. To be short, my brethren are unbelievers, and do not regard the word of God. I know it by myself, for when I was in the world, it was so with me. Many a good sermon did I hear. Many a time was I admonished, desired, entreated, beseeched, threatened, forewarned of what I now suffer. But alas, I was ignorant, self-conceited, sorely obstinate and rebellious. Many a time the preacher told hell would be my portion. The devil would wreak his malice on me. God would pour on me his sore displeasure. But he had as good as have preached to the stock, to the post, to the stones I trod on. His words rang in mine ears, but I kept them from mine heart. I remember he alleged many a scripture, but those I valued not. The Scriptures, thought I, what are they? A dead letter, a little ink and paper of 3 or 4 shillings price. Alas, what is the Scripture? Give me a ballad, a newsbook, George on horseback, or Beavis of Southampton. Give me some book that teaches curious arts, that tells of old fables. But for the Holy Scriptures, I cared not. And as it was with me then, so it is with my brethren now. We were all of one spirit, loved all the same sins, slighted all the same counsels, promises, encouragements, and threatenings of the Scriptures. And they are still as I left them, still in unbelief, still provoking God and rejecting good counsel, so hardened in their ways, so bent to follow sin, that let the Scriptures be showed to them daily. Let the messengers of Christ preach till their hearts ache, till they fall down dead with preaching. They will rather trample it underfoot and swine-like rend them than close in with those gentle and blessed pro-offers of the gospel. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one should rise from the dead, they would repent. Though they have Moses and the prophets, the Scriptures, they will not repent and close in with Jesus Christ, though the Scriptures do witness against them. If therefore there be any good done to them, they must have it another way. I think, saith he, it would work much on them if one should rise from the dead. And this truth indeed is so evident that ungodly ones have a light esteem of the Scriptures, that it needs not many strong arguments to prove it, being so evidently manifested by their every day's practice, both in words and actions, almost in all things they say and do. Yet for the satisfaction of the reader, I shall show you a Scripture or two, though I might show many, that this was and is true with the generality of the world. See the words of Nehemiah in his 9th chapter concerning the children of Israel, who though the Lord offered them mercy upon mercy, as it is from verse 19 through 25, yet verse 26 saith he, nevertheless they were disobedient for all thy goodness towards them, and rebelled against thee. But how? And cast thy law behind their backs, slew thy prophets which testified against them, to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocations. Observe, number one, they sinned against mercy. And then, number two, they slighted the law, or the word of God. Number three, they slew the prophets that declared it unto them. Number four, the Lord counts it a great provocation. See Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 through 19, Zechariah chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. But they refused to hearken, saith he, there of the wicked, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear the law. Yea, they made their hearts hard as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent unto them, in his spirit, by the former prophets, etc. Mark, I pray you, here is also, number one, a refusing to hearken to the words of the prophets. Number two, that they might do so, or that they might so do, they stopped their ears. Number three, if anything was to be done, they pulled away their shoulder. Number four, to effect his, they labored to make their hearts hard as an adamant stone. Number five, and all this, lest they should hear and close in with Jesus, and live, and be delivered from the wrath to come. All which things do hold out an unwillingness to submit to and embrace the words of God, and so Jesus Christ, which is testified of by them. Many other scriptures I might bring in for confirmation of the thing, as that in Amos chapter 7, verses 12 and 13.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.
Read also seriously that saying in 2 Chronicles 36, verse 15, where he saith, "And the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. And did they make them welcome? No, but they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. And was that all? No, they misused his prophets. How long? Until the wrath of the Lord arose against them, till there was no remedy." See also Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 19, Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 3 through 7, and Luke chapter 11, verse 49. And besides, the conversion of almost all men doth bear witness to the same, both religious and profane persons, in that they daily neglect, reject, and turn their backs upon the plain testimony of the Scriptures. As, first, take the threatenings laid down in Holy Writ, and how are they disregarded? There are but a few places in the Bible, but there are threatenings against one sinner or another, against drunkards, swearers, liars, proud persons, strumpets, whoremongers, covetous, railers, extortioners, thieves, lazy persons. In a word, all manner of sins are reproved, and without faith in the Lord Jesus, there is a sore punishment to be executed on the committers of them, and all this made mention of in the Scriptures. But for all this, how thick and by heaps do these wretches walk up and down our streets? Do but go into the alehouses, and you shall see almost every room besprinkled with them, so foaming out their own shame that it is enough to make the heart of a saint to tremble, insomuch that they would not be bound to have society with them any long while for all the world. For as the ways of the godly are not liked of by the wicked, even so the ways of the wicked are an abomination to the just. Proverbs 29, verse 27, Psalm 120, verses 5 and 6. Number 1. The Scripture says, "Cursed is the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. And yet how many poor souls are there in the world that stand in so much awe and dread of men, and do so highly esteem their favor, that they will rather venture their souls in the hands of the devil with their favor, than they will fly to Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Nay, though they be convinced in their souls that the way is the way of God, yet how do they labor to stifle conviction and turn their ears away from the truth, and all because they will not lose the favor of an opposite neighbor? Oh, I dare not for my master, my brother, my landlord, I shall lose his favor, his house of work, and so decay my calling. Oh, saith another, I would willingly go in this way, but for my father, He chides and tells me he will not stand my friend when I come to want. I shall never enjoy a pennyworth of his goods. He will disinherit me. And I dare not, saith another, for my husband, for he will be a railing, and tells me he will turn me out of doors. He will beat me and cut off my legs. But I tell you, if any of these or any other things be so prevalent with thee now as to keep thee from seeking after Christ and his ways, they will also be so prevalent with God against thee as to make him cast off thy soul, because thou didst rather trust man than God, and delight in the embracing of man rather than in the favor of the Lord. Number 2. Again the scripture saith, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Proverbs 29 verse 1. Yet many are so far from turning, though they have been convicted of their wretched state 100 times, that when convictions or trouble for sin comes in on their consciences, they go on still in the same manner, resisting and choking the same, though remediless destruction be hard at their heels. Number 3. Again thou hast heard say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And yet thou goest on in a natural state, an unregenerate condition. Nay, thou dost resolve never to turn nor be changed, though hell be appointed on purpose to swallow up such. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9, verse 17. Number 4. Again, the scripture saith plainly, that he that loveth and maketh a lie shall have his part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation 21, verses 8 and 27. And yet thou art so far from dreading it, that it is thy delight to jest and jeer, and lie for a penny, or 2 pence, or 6 pence, again. And also, if thou canst make the rest of thy companions merry by telling things that are false of them that are better than thyself, thou dost not care a straw. Or if thou hearest a lie from or of another, thou wilt tell it and swear to the truth of it. O miserable! Number 5. Thou hast heard and read that he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. And that all men have not faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And yet thou dost so much disregard these things, that it is like thou didst scarcely ever so much as examine seriously whether thou wast in the faith or no, but dost content thyself with the hypocrite's hope, which at the last God will cut off, and count it not better than the spider's web. Job chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. Or the house that is builded on the sands. Luke 6:49. Nay, thou peradventure dost flatter thyself, and thinkest that thy faith is as good as the best of them all, when, alas, poor soul, thou mayest have no saving faith at all, which thou hast not if thou be not born again and made a new creature. 2 Corinthians 2:17. Number 6. Thou hast heard that he that neglects God's great salvation shall never escape his great damnation. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, compared with Luke chapter 14, verse 24, and Revelation chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. And yet when thou art invited, entreated, and beseeched to come in, thou wilt make any excuse to serve the turn. Luke 14, verses 17 and 18, Romans 12, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 19 and 20. Nay, thou wilt be so wicked as to put off Christ time after time, notwithstanding he is so freely pro-offered to thee, a little ground, a few oxen, a farm, a wife, a 2-penny matter, a play, nay, the fear of a mock, the scoff, or a jeer, is of greater weight to draw thee back than the salvation of thy soul to draw thee forward. Number 7. And thou hast heard that whosoever will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4. But thou regardest not these things, but contrariwise. rather than thou wilt be out of the friendship and favor of this world. Thou wilt sin against thy own conscience, and get thyself into favor by fawning and flattering of the world. Yea, rather than thou wilt go without it, thou wilt dissemble, lie, backbite thy neighbor, and 100 other tricks thou wilt have. Number 8. You have heard that the day of judgment is near, in which you and I, all of us, must appear before the tribunal of Jesus Christ, and there be made to give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead, even of all that we ever did, yea, of all our sins in thought, word, and deed, and shall certainly be damned for them too, if we close not in with our Lord Jesus Christ, and what he hath done and suffered for eternal life. And that not notably or notionally or traditionally, but really and savingly, in the power and by the operation of the Spirit, through faith. Ecclesiastes 11 verse 9, Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14, Acts 10 verse 42, Acts 17 verses 30 and 31, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, Hebrews 9 verse 27, Revelation 20 verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. There is the book of the creatures, the book of conscience, the book of the Lord's remembrance, the book of the law, the book of the gospel, Romans 1 verse 20 compared with Romans 2 verses 12 and 15, Revelation 6 verse 17, John 12 verse 48. Then he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on his left, Matthew 25 verses 30 through 32, and shall say to them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed. Verse 34. But to the other, Go, or Depart, ye cursed. Verse 41. Yet notwithstanding the Scriptures do so plainly and plentifully speak of these things, alas, who is there that is weaned from the world and from their sins and pleasures, to fly from the wrath to come? Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Notwithstanding, the Scripture saith also that heaven and earth shall pass away, rather than one jot or one tittle of the world shall fail, till all be fulfilled. They are so certain. Luke chapter 21, verse 33, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, Part 8. Second Promises. But leaving the threatenings, let us come to the promises and speak somewhat of them, and you may see how light men make of them, and how little they set by them, notwithstanding the mouth of the Lord hath spoken them. As, number 1, Turn ye fools, ye scorners, ye simple ones at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, Proverbs 1, verse 23. And yet persons had rather be in their foolishness and scorning still, and had rather embrace some filthy lust than the holy, undefiled, and blessed Spirit of Christ, through the promise, though by it as many as receive it, are sealed unto the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and although he that lives and dies without it is none of Christ's, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. Number 2. God hath said, If thou do but come to him in Christ, though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and he will by no means cast thee away. Compare Isaiah 1:18 with John 6:37. Yet poor souls will not come to Christ that they might have life, John chapter 5, verse 40, but rather, after their hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto themselves wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, Romans chapter 2, verse 5. Number 3. Christ Jesus hath said in the word of truth, that if any man will serve and follow him, where he is, there shall also his servant be, John chapter 12, verse 26. But yet poor souls choose rather to follow sin, Satan, and the world, though their companions be the devils and damned souls forever. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Number 4. He hath also said, Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added. But let whoso will seek after the kingdom of heaven first for them, for they will take the first time, while time serves to get the things of this life. And if it be so that they must needs seek after heaven, or else be damned, they will stay till they have more leisure, or till they can better attend to it, or till they have other things handsome about them, or till they are older, when they have little else to do, or when they come to be sick and to die. Then, Lord, have mercy upon them, though it be 10,000 to 1, but they perish forever. For commonly the Lord hath this way to deal with such sinners, who put him off when he is striving with them, either to laugh at their calamity and mock when their fear cometh, Proverbs 1, verse 26 and 28, or else to send them to the gods they have served, which are the devils, Judges chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. Go to the gods you have served, and let them deliver you, saith he. Compare this with John chapter 8, verse 44. Number 5. He hath said, There is no man that forsaketh father, or mother, wife, or children, or lands, for his sake and the gospel's, but shall have a hundredfold in this world with persecution, and in the world to come life everlasting. Mark chapter 10, verses 29 and 30. But men, for the most part, are so far off from believing the certainty of this, that they will scarcely lose the earning of a penny to hear the word of God, the gospel of salvation. Nay, they will neither go themselves, nor suffer others to go if they can help it, without threatening to do them a mischief if it lie in their way. Nay, further, many are so far from parting from any worldly gain for Christ's sake and the gospel's, that they are still striving, by hook and by crook, as we say, by swearing, lying, cozening, stealing, covetousness, extortion, oppression, forgery, bribery, flattery, or any other way to get more, thou they get together with these, death, wrath, damnation, hell, the devil, and all the plagues that God can pour upon them. And if any do not run with them to the same excess of riot, but rather for all their threats will be so bold and careless, as they call it, as to follow the ways of God. If they can do no more, yet they will whet their tongues like a sword to wound them, and do them the greatest mischief they can, both in speaking against them to neighbors, to wives, to husbands, to landlords, and raising false reports of them. But let such take heed, lest they be in such a state and woeful condition as he was in, who said, in vexation and anguish of soul, one drop of cold water to cool my tongue. Thus I might add many things out of the Holy Writ, both threatenings and promises, besides those heavenly counsels, loving reproofs, free invitations to all sorts of sinners, both old and young, rich and poor, bond and free, wise and unwise, all which have been, now are, and is to be feared, as long as this world lasts, will be trampled under the feet of those swine. I call them not men, who will continue in the same. But take a review of some of them. Number 1. Counsel. What heavenly counsel is that where Christ saith, Buy of me gold tried by the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Also that, Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Here in your soul shall live, verse 3. Take hold of my strength, that you may make peace with me, and you shall make peace with me, Isaiah chapter 27, verse 5. Number 2. Instruction. What instruction is here? Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, say Christ, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 33 through 35. Take heed that no man deceive you by any means. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. John chapter 6, verse 27. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Quench not the spirit. Lay hold on eternal life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Take heed and beware of hypocrisy. Watch and be sober. Learn of me, saith Christ. Come unto me. Number 3. Forewarning. What forewarning is here? Because there is wrath, beware lest he take away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Job chapter 36, verse 18. Be ye not mockers, lest your hands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord of God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 22. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you that is written, Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, perish. For I work a work in your days, which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Acts chapter 13, verses 40 and 41. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being made and left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Jude 5. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3, verse 11. Number 4. Comfort. What comfort is here? Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. I will never leave nor forsake thee, for I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I lay my life down for the sheep. I lay down my life that they may have life. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. For I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgression, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 44, verse 22. Number 5. Grief to those that fall short. Oh, sad grief! How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. They shall curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. Isaiah chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. He hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Psalm 112, verses 9 and 10. There shall be weeping when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Luke 13, verse 28. All which things are slighted by the world. Thus much, in short, touching this, that ungodly men undervalue the Scriptures and give no credit to them, when the truth that is contained in them is held forth in simplicity unto them, but rather cry out, Nay, but if one should rise from the dead, then they think something might be done, when, alas, those signs and wonders were wrought by the hands of those that preach the gospel. These poor creatures would never the sooner convert, though they suppose they should, as is evident by the carriages of their forerunners, who, albeit the Lord Jesus Christ himself did confirm his doctrine by miracles, as opening blind eyes, casting out of devils, and raising the dead, they were so far from receiving either him or his doctrine, that they put him to death for his pains. Though he had done so many miracles among them, yet they believed not in him. John chapter 12, verse 37. But to pass this, I shall lay down some of the grounds of their rejecting and undervaluing the Scriptures, and so pass on. Number 1. Ground. Because they do not believe that they are the Word of God, but rather suppose them to be the inventions of men, written by some politicians on purpose to make poor ignorant people to submit to some religion and government. Though they do not say this, yet their practices testify the same, as he that when he hears the words of the curse, yet blesseth himself in his heart, and saith he shall have peace, though God saith he shall have none. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 18 through 20. And this must needs be, for did but men believe this, that it is the word of God, then they must believe that he that speaketh is true. Therefore shall every word and tittle be fulfilled. And if they come once to this, unless they be stark mad, they will have a care how they do throw themselves under the lash of eternal vengeance. For the reason why the Thessalonians received the word was because they believed it was the word of God, and not the word of man, which did effectually work in them by their thus believing. When ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, saith he, ye received it not as the word of man, but, as is in the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So that did a man but receive it in hearing, or reading, or meditating, as it is the word of God, they would be converted. But the word preached did not profit, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Number 2. Ground. Because they do not indeed see themselves by nature heirs of that exceeding wrath and vengeance that the Scriptures testify of. For did they but consider what God intends to do with those that live and die in a natural state, it would either sink them into despair, or make them fly for refuge to the hope that is set before them. But if there be never such sins committed, and never so great wrath denounced, and the time of execution be never so near, yet if the party that is guilty be senseless, and altogether ignorant thereof, he will be careless, and regards it nothing at all. And that man by nature is in this condition, it is evident. For take the same man that is senseless and ignorant of that misery he is in by nature. I say, take him at another time when he is a little awakened, and then you shall hear him roar, and cry out so long as trouble is upon him, and a sense of the wrath of God hanging over his head. Good sirs, what must I do to be saved? Though the same man at another time, when his conscience has fallen asleep and grown hard, will lie like the smith's dog at the foot of the anvil, though the fire sparks fly in his face. But, as I said before, when anyone is a little awakened, oh, what work will one verse, one line, nay, one word of the Holy Scriptures make in his heart? He cannot eat, sleep, work, keep company with his former companions, and all because he is afraid that the damnation spoken of in Scripture will fall to his share. Like Balaam, who said, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord. Numbers 22, verse 18. So long as he had something of the word of the Lord with authority, severity, and power on his heart, But at another time, he could teach Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Number 3. Because the carnal priests do tickle the ears of their hearers with vain philosophy and deceit, and thereby harden their hearts against the simplicity of the gospel and word of God, which things the apostle admonished those that have a mind to close in with Christ to avoid, saying, Beware lest any man, be he what he will, spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. And you who muzzle up your people in ignorance with Aristotle, Plato, and the rest of the heathenish philosophers, and preach little, if anything, of Christ rightly, I say unto you that you will find you have sinned against God, and beguiled your hearers, when God shall, in the judgment day, lay the cause of the damnation of many thousands of souls to your charge.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.
Another reason why the carnal, unbelieving world do so slight the Scriptures and Word of God is because the judgment spoken of in the Scripture is not presently executed on the transgressors. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Because God doth not presently strike the poor wretch as soon as he sins, but waits and forbears and is patient. Therefore the world, judging God to be unfaithful, go to it again and again, and every time grow harder and harder, till at last God is forced either to stretch out his mighty power to turn them, or else send death, and with the devil in hell, to fetch them. Thou thoughtest, saith God, that I was altogether such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Psalm 50, verses 21 and 22. Number 5. Ground. Another reason why the blind world do slight the authority of Scripture is because they give ear to the devil, who, through his subtlety, casteth false evasions and corrupt interpretations on them, rendering them not so point-blank the mind of God, and a rule for direction to poor souls, persuading them that they must give ear and way to something else besides and beyond that, or else he labors to render it vile and contemptible by persuading them that it is a dead letter, when indeed they know not what they say, nor whereof they affirm. For the Scripture is not so dead, but that the knowledge of it is able to make any man wise unto salvation, through faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and is profitable for instruction, reproof, and correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished to all good works, verse 17. And where it is said, the letter killeth, he meaneth the law, as it is the ministration of damnation, or a covenant of works, and so indeed it doth kill, and must do so, because it is just, forasmuch as the party that is under the same is not able to yield to it a complete and continual obedience. But yet I will call Peter and Paul to witness that the Scriptures are of a very glorious concernment, inasmuch as in them is held forth to us the way of life, and also in that they do administer good ground of hope to us. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4. And again, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the Scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. And therefore, whosoever they be that slight the Scriptures, they slight that which is no less than the word of God. And they who slight that, slight him that spake it. And they that do so, let them look to themselves, for God will be revenged on such. Much more might be said to this thing, but I would not be tedious. A word or two more, so I have done with this. Consider the danger of slighting the words of the prophets or apostles, whether they be correction, reproof, admonition, forewarning, or the blessed invitations and promises contained in them. Number one, consider. Such souls do provoke God to anger and to execute his vengeance on them. They refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear the law, and they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words of the Lord of hosts, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Zechariah chapter 11, chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. Number two, consider. God will not regard their calamity. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Proverbs 1, verses 24 through 28. Consider, or number three, consider. God doth commonly give up such men to delusions, to believe lies, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Therefore, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Number 4. Consider. In a word, they that do continue to reject and slight the word of God, they are such, for the most part, as are ordained to be damned. Old Eli, his sons, not hearkening to the voice of their father, reproving them for their sins, but disobeying his voice. It is said, it was because the Lord would slay them. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 25. Again, see in 2 Chronicles 25, verses 15 and 16. Amaziah, having sinned against the Lord, he sends to him a prophet to reprove him. But Amaziah says, Forbear, why shouldest thou be smitten? He did not hearken to the word of God. Then the prophet forbear, saying, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Read therefore, and the Lord give thee understanding. For a miserable end will those have that go on sinning against God, rejecting his word. Other things might have been observed from this verse, which at this time I shall pass by, partly because the sum of them hath been touched already, and may be more clearly hinted at in the following verse, and therefore I shall speak a few words to the next verse, and so draw towards a conclusion. Verse 31. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And he said, that is, and God made answer to the words spoken in the verse before. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses, etc. As if he had said, Moses was a man of great renown, a man of worthy note, a man that talked with God face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. The words that Moses spake were such as I commanded him to speak. Let who will question them, I will own them, credit them, bless them that close in with them, and curse those that reject them. I myself sent the prophets. They did not run out of their own heads. I gave them commission. I thrust them out and told them what they should say. In a word, they have told the world what my mind is to do, both to sinners and to saints. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Therefore, he that shall reject and turn his back either upon the threatenings, counsels, admonitions, invitations, promises, or whatsoever else I have commanded them to speak, as to salvation and life, and to directions therein, shall be sure to have a share in the many curses that they have spoken, and the destruction that is pronounced by them. Again, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, etc. As if he had said, Thou wouldst have me send one from the dead unto them. What needs that? They have my mind already. I have declared unto them what I intend to stand to, both for saving them that believe, and damning them that do not. That therefore which I have said, I will make good, whether they hear or forbear. And as for this desire of yours, you had as good desire me to make a new Bible, and so to revoke my first sayings by the mouth of my prophets. But I am God and not man, and my word is immutable, unchangeable, and shall stand as fast as my decrees can make it. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but one jot or tittle of my word shall not pass. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. If thou hadst 10,000 brethren, and every one in danger of losing his soul, if they did not close in with what is contained and recorded in the scriptures of truth, they must even every one of them perish and be forever damned in hell, for the scriptures cannot be broken. I did not send them so unadvisedly to recall it again by another consideration. No, for I speak in righteousness and in judgment, Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1 through 3, and in much wisdom and counsel. It being therefore gone out of my mouth in this matter, it shall not return in vain, until it hath accomplished the thing whereto I have sent it. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. But again, thou supposest that miracles and wonders will work more on them, which makes thee say, Send one from the dead. But herein thou art mistaken, for I have proved them with that once and again, by more than one or two or three of my servants. How many miracles did my servant Moses work by commandment from me in the land of Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness? Yet they of that generation were never the sooner converted for that, but notwithstanding, rebelled and lusted, and in their hearts turned back into Egypt. Acts chapter 7. How many miracles did Samuel, David, Elias, Elisha, Daniel, and the prophets, together with my son, who raised the dead, cast out devils, made them to see that were born blind, gave and restored limbs. Yet for all this, as I said before, they hated him. They crucified him. I raised him again from the dead, and he appeared to his disciples, who were called and chosen and faithful, and he gave them commandment and commission to go and testify the truth of this to the world, and to condemn the same, he enabled them to speak with diverse tongues, and to work miracles most plentifully. Yet there was great persecution raised against them, insomuch that but a few of them died in their beds. And therefore, though thou thinkest that a miracle will do so much with the world, yet I say no. For if they will not believe Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. From these words, therefore, take notice of this truth, namely, that those who reject and believe not Moses and the prophets are a very hard-hearted people, that will not be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. They that regard not the holy scriptures to turn to God, finding them to testify of his goodness and mercy, there is but little hopes of their salvation, for they will not, mark, they will not be persuaded, though one should rise from the dead. This truth is confirmed by Jesus Christ himself. If you read John chapter 5, where the Lord is speaking of himself, that he is the very Christ, he brings in 4,000 or 5,000 witnesses to back what he said. 1, John the Baptist. 2, the works that his Father gave him to do. 3, his Father speaking from heaven. 4, the testimony of the Scriptures. When all this was done, seeing yet they would not believe, he lays the fault upon one of these two things. Number one, they're regarding an esteem among men. Number two, they're not believing of the prophets' writings, even Moses and the rest. For had ye believed Moses, saith he, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now I say, he that shall slight the scriptures and the testimony of the prophets and them concerning Jesus Christ must needs be in great danger of losing his soul. If he abide in this condition, because he that slights the testimony doth also slight the thing testified of, let him say the contrary never so often. For as Jesus Christ hath here laid down the reason of men's not receiving him, so the apostle in another place lays down the reason again with a high and mighty aggravation. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, saying, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record, mark, the record that God gave of his Son. The record, you will say, what is that? Why, even the testimony that God gave of him by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Acts chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. That is, God sending his Holy Spirit into the hearts of his servants, the prophets and apostles, he, by his Spirit in them, did bear witness or record of the truth of salvation by his Son Jesus, both before and after his coming. And thus is that place also to be understood, which saith, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. That is, the Spirit and the apostles which preached him to the world, as is clear if you read seriously 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. The apostle, speaking of Jesus Christ and obedience to God through him, saith thus, now he that despiseth not man, but God. But it is you that speak, true, but it is by and through the Spirit. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who also hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. This is therefore a mighty confirmation of this truth, that he that slights the record or testimony that God, by his Spirit, in his prophets and apostles, hath testified unto us, slights the testimony of the Spirit who moved them to speak these things. And if so, then I would fain know how any man can be saved by Jesus Christ that slights the testimony concerning Christ, yea, the testimony of his own Spirit concerning his own self. It is true, men may pretend to have the testimony of the Spirit, and from that conceit set a low esteem on the Holy Scriptures. But that Spirit that dwelleth in them and teacheth them so to do, it is no better than the spirit of Satan, though he calls itself by the name of the Spirit of Christ. To the law, therefore, and to the testimony. Try them by that. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Apostle Peter, when he speaks of the glorious voice that he had from the excellent majesty, saying of Christ, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," saith thus to them whom he wrote unto, "You have also a more sure word of prophecy, or of the prophets, for so you may read it, unto which ye do well, that ye take heed." That is, though we tell you that we had this excellent testimony from his own mouth, evidently, yet you have the prophets. We tell you this, and you need not doubt of the truth of it. But if you should, yet you may not, must not, ought not to question them. Search therefore into them until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. That is, until by the same Spirit that gave forth the Scripture, you find the truth confirmed to your souls, which you have recorded in the Scriptures, that this word of prophecy, or of the prophets, is the Scriptures. Read on, for, saith he, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, etc. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Continuing in A Few Sighs from Hell by John Bunyan, Part 9. Objection. But you will say, what needs all this ado? And why is all this time and pain spent in seeking to this that is surely believed already? This is a thing received by all, that they believe the Scriptures to be the word of God, that sure word of prophecy, and therefore you need not spend your time in proving these things and the truth of them. Seeing we grant and confess the truth of it before you, being to speak your judgment of them. Answer. The truths of God cannot be borne witness unto too often. You may as well say, number one, you need not preach Jesus Christ so much, seeing he hath been and is received for the true Messiah already. Number two, though many may suppose that they do believe the Scriptures, yet if they were but well examined, you will find them either by word of mouth, or else by conversation, to deny, reject, and slight the Holy Scriptures. It is true, there is a notional and historical assent in the head, I say in the head of many, or most, to the truth contained in the Scriptures. But try them, I say, and you shall find but a little, if any, of the faith of the operation of God in the hearts of poor men, to believe the Scriptures and things contained in them. Many, yea, most men believe the Scriptures as they believe a fable, a story, a tale of which there is no certainty. But alas, there are but few do indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures to be the very word of God. Objection. But you will say, this seems strange to me. Answer. And it seems as true to me, and I doubt not but to make it manifest, that there are but few, yea, very few, that do effectually, for that I aim at, believe the Scriptures and the truths contained in and spoken of by them. But to make this appear, and to that purpose, if God will, I shall lay you down the several operations that the Scriptures have on them who do effectually believe the things contained in them. First, he that doth effectually believe the Scriptures, hath in the first place been killed, I say killed by the authority of the Holy Scriptures, struck stark dead in a spiritual sense by the Holy Scriptures, being set home by that Spirit which gave them forth upon the soul. The letter killeth. The letter strikes men dead, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And this Paul witnessed and found before he could say, I believe all that the prophets have spoken, where he saith, I was alive without the law once, that is, my natural state, before the law was set on my heart with power. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Romans chapter 7, verse 9. And that law which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Verse 11. Now that which is called the letter in 2 Corinthians is called the law in Romans 7, by which its power and operation, as it is wielded by the Spirit of God, doth in the first place kill and slay all those that are enabled to believe the Scriptures. I kill, saith God, that is, with my law I pierce, I wound, I prick men into the very heart, by showing them their sins against my law. Deuteronomy 31, verse 26, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. And he that is ignorant of this is also ignorant of, and doth not really and effectually believe the Scripture. But you will say, how doth the law kill and strike dead the poor creatures? Answer, the letter, or law, doth kill thus. It is set home upon the soul, and discovers to the soul its transgressions against the law, and shows the soul also that it cannot completely satisfy the justice of God for the breach of his law. Therefore it is condemned. John chapter 3, verse 18. Mark, he that believeth not is condemned already. He, to wit, by the law, that is, the law doth condemn him, yea, it hath condemned him already for his sins against it, as it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, all men as they come into the world are in this condition, that is, condemned by the law, yet not believing their condemnation by the law, really. They do not also believe really and effectually the law that doth condemn them. For as men have but a notion of the one, that is, their condemnation, because of sins against the law, so they have but a notion of the condemning, killing, and destroying power of the law. For as the one is, so in these things always is the other. There is no man that doth really believe the law or gospel further than they do feel the power and authority of them in their hearts. Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Now this letter, or law, is not to be taken in the largest sense, but is strictly to be tied to the Ten Commandments, whose proper work is only by showing the soul its sin against this law, to kill, and there leaves him stark dead, not giving him the least life or support or comfort, but leaves the soul in a helpless and hopeless condition, as from itself or any other mere creature. It is true, the law hath laid all men for dead, as they come into the world. But all men do not see themselves dead, until they see that law that struck them dead striking in their souls, and having struck them that fatal blow. As a man that is fast asleep in a house, and that on fire about his ears, and he not knowing of it because he is asleep, even so, because poor souls are asleep in sin, though the wrath of God, the curse of his law, and the flames of hell have beset them round about, yet they do not believe it, because they are asleep in sin. Now, as he that is awakened and sees this, sees that through this he is a dead man, even so they that do see their state by nature, being such a sad condition, do also see themselves by that law to be dead men naturally. But now, when didst thou feel the power of this first part of the Scripture, the law, so mighty as to strike thee dead? If not, thou dost not so much as verily believe that part of the Scripture that doth contain the law in it to be the truth of God. Yet if thou shouldest have felt something, I say, something of the killing power of the law of God in thine heart, this is not an argument to prove that thou believest all things contained in the Scripture. For there is gospel as well as law, and therefore I shall speak to that also, that is, whether thou hast felt the power of the gospel, as well as something of the power of the law. Second, then thou hast found the power of the gospel, and so believed it. Thou hast found it thus with thy soul. Number one, thou hast been showed by the word of, or truth of the gospel, in the light of the Spirit of Christ, that by nature thou wert without the true faith of the Son of God in thy soul. For when he, the Spirit, is come, he shall show men that they believe not in me, saith Christ. John chapter 16, verse 9. Mark, though thou hast, as I said before, felt somewhat of the power of the law, letter of Ten Commandments. Yet as thou hast not been brought to this, to see by the Spirit in the gospel, that thou art without faith by nature, thou hast not yet tasted, much less believed, any part of the gospel. For the gospel and the law are two distinct covenants, and they that are under the law or first covenant, and yet in the meantime to be a stranger to the covenant of promise, that is the gospel, and so have no hope in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. There is not any promise that can be believed, that can be savingly believed, until the soul be by the gospel converted to Jesus Christ. For though men do think never so much that they believe the things or the word of the gospel of our salvation, yet unless they have the work of grace in their souls, they do not, cannot rightly believe the things contained in the Scriptures. Again, number 2. As the law killeth those that believe it, even so the promises contained in the gospel do, through faith, administer comfort to those that believe it aright. My words, saith Christ, my words, they are spirit, and they are life. John chapter 6, verse 63. As if he had said, the words contained in the law as a covenant of works, they wound and kill, they strike dead those that are under them. But as for me, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. That is, whosoever doth receive them believingly shall find them full of operation, to comfort, quicken, and revive their soul. For as I did not come into the world to destroy men's lives, so the words that I speak, as I am sent to preach the gospel, they have no such tendency unto those that believe them. The promises that are in the gospel, oh, how do they comfort them! Such a promise, and such a promise. Oh, how sweet it is it! How comfortable to those that believe them! Alas, there are many poor souls that think they believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God, and yet they never enjoyed anything of the life and promises. They come in upon the heart to quicken, to revive thee, to raise thee from the sentence of death that is passed on thee by the law. And through the faith that is wrought in thy soul, by the operation of God's Holy Spirit, though once killed by the law or letter, thou art made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is presented to thy soul in the promises. Third, dost thou indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God? Then the things contained in them, especially the things of the gospel, are very excellent to thy soul, as the birth of Christ, the death, resurrection, intercession, and second coming. Oh, how precious and excellent are they to thy soul, insomuch that thou regardest nothing in comparison of them. Oh, it is Christ's birth, death, blood, resurrection, etc., according to the Scriptures, that thou dost rejoice in exceedingly and abundantly desire after.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.
Fourth, dost thou believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God? Then thou standest in awe of and dost much reverence them. Why? They are the Word of God, the true sayings of God. They are the counsel of God. They are His promises and His threatenings. Poor souls are apt to think, if I could hear God speak to me from heaven with an audible voice, then sure I should be serious and believe it. But truly, if God should speak to thee from heaven, except thou wert converted, thou wouldst not regard, nor really believe Him. But if thou dost believe the Scriptures, thou seest that they are the truth as really as if God should speak to thee from heaven through the clouds. And therefore, never flatter thyself, foolishly thinking, that if it were so and so, then thou couldst believe. I tell thee, saith Christ, if they believe not Moses and the prophets, neither will they believe through though one should rise from the dead. But, fifth, dost thou believe the Scriptures to be the Word of God? Then, through faith in Christ, thou endeavorest to have thy life squared according to the Scriptures, both in word and practice. Nay, this I say, thou mayest have, though thou do not believe them all. My meaning is, that if thou believe none but the Ten Commandments, thy life may be, according to them, a legal, holy life. And if thou do believe the gospel too, then thy life will be the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, either thou wilt live in the blessed and holy enjoyment of what is testified in the Scripture concerning the glorious things of the Lord Jesus Christ, or else thou wilt be exceedingly panting after them. For the Scriptures carry such a blessed beauty in them to that soul that hath faith in the things contained in them, that they do take the heart and captivate the soul of him that believeth them into the love and liking of them, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope towards God that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein I do exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Acts chapter 24, verses 14 through 16. Sixth, he that believes the Scriptures to be the Word of God, if he do but suppose that any one place of Scripture doth exclude him, and shut him out of, and from a share of the promises contained in them, oh, it will trouble him, grieve him, perplex him. Yea, he will not be satisfied until he be resolved, and the contrary sealed to his soul. For he knows that the Scriptures are the Word of God, all truth, and therefore he knows that if any one sentence doth exclude or bar him out for want of this or the other qualification, he knows also that not the Word alone shuts him out, but he that speaks it, even God himself. And therefore he cannot, will not, dare not be contented until he find his soul and Scripture together, with the things contained therein, to embrace each other, and a sweet correspondency and agreement between them. For you must know that to him that believes the Scriptures aright, the promises or threatenings are of more power to comfort or cast down than all the promises or threatenings of all the men in the world. And this was the cause why the martyrs of Jesus did so slight both the promises of their adversaries, when they would have overcome them with proffering the great things of this world unto them, and also to their threatenings, when they told them they would rack them, hang them, burn them. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. None of these things could prevail upon them, or against them, because they did most really believe the Scriptures, and the things contained in them, as is clearly found, and to be seen in Hebrews 11, also in Mr. Fox's records of their brethren. Seventh, he that believeth the Scriptures to be the word of God, believeth that men must be born again, and also to be partakers of that faith which is of the operation of God, according as he hath read and believed, or else he must and shall be damned. And he that believeth this aright will not be contented until, according as it is written, he do partake of and enjoy the new birth, and until he do find, through grace, that faith that is wrought by the operation of God in his soul. For this is the cause why men do satisfy themselves with so slender a conceited hope that their state is good when it is nothing so, namely, because they do not credit the Scripture. For did they would look into their own hearts and examine seriously whether that faith, that hope, that grace which they think they have be of that nature and wrought by that Spirit and power that the Scripture speaketh of. I speak this of an effectual believing, without which all other is nothing unto salvation. Number 6. Five uses by way of self-examination. Now then, because I would not be too tedious, I shall at this time lay down no more discoveries of such an one as doth savingly believe the Scriptures, and the things contained in them, but shall speak a few words of examination concerning the things already mentioned. As first use, thou sayest thou dost indeed and in truth effectually believe the Scriptures. I ask therefore, wast thou ever killed stark dead by the law of works contained in the Scriptures, killed by the law or letter, and made to see thy sins against it, and left in a helpless condition by that law? For as I said, the proper work of the law is to slay the soul, and to leave it dead in a helpless state. For it doth neither give the soul any comfort itself when it comes, nor doth it show the soul where comfort is to be had, and therefore it is called the ministration of condemnation, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The ministration of death, verse 7. For though men may have a notion of the blessed word of God, as the children had, yet before they be converted, it may truly be said of them, ye err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Mark chapter 12, verse 24. Second use. You say you do believe the Scriptures to be the word of God. I say again, examine. Wast thou ever quickened from a dead state by the power of the Spirit of Christ, through the other part of the Scripture, that is to say, by the power of God and his Son Jesus Christ, through the covenant of the promise? I tell thee from the Lord, if thou hast felt such a quickening power in the words of Christ, John 6, that thou hast been lifted out of that dead condition that thou before wast in, and that when thou wast under the guilt of sin, the curse of the law, and the power of the devil, and the justice of the great God, thou hast been enabled by the power of God in Christ, revealed to thee by the Spirit, through and by the Scripture, to look sin, death, hell, the devil, and the law, and all the things that are at enmity with thee, with boldness and comfort in the face, through the blood, death, righteousness, resurrection, and intercession of Christ, made mention of in the Scriptures. And third use, on this account, how excellent are the Scriptures to thy soul! Oh, how much virtue dost thou see in such a promise, in such an invitation! They are so large as to say, Christ will in no wise cast me out. My crimson sin shall be as white as snow. I tell thee, friend, there are some promises that the Lord hath helped me to lay hold of Jesus Christ through and by, that I would not have out of the Bible for as much gold and silver as can lie between York and London, piled up to the stars. Because through them Christ is pleased by his Spirit to convey comfort to my soul. I say, when the law curses, when the devil tempts, when hell fire flames in my conscience, my sins with the guilt of them tearing of me, then is Christ revealed so sweetly to my poor soul through the promises that all is forced to fly and leave off to accuse my soul. So also, when the world frowns, when the enemies rage and threaten to kill me, then also the precious, the exceeding great and precious promises do weigh down all and comfort the soul against all. This is the effect of believing the Scriptures savingly. For they that do so have by and through the Scriptures good comfort, and also ground of hope, believing those things to be its own which the Scriptures hold forth. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Fourth use, examine. Dost thou stand in awe of sinning against God? Because he hath in the Scriptures commanded thee to abstain from it. Dost thou give diligence to make thy calling and election sure? Because God commanded it in the Scripture? Dost thou examine thyself whether thou be in the faith or no, having a command in Scripture so to do? Or dost thou, notwithstanding what thou readest in the Scripture, follow the world, delight in sin, neglect coming to Jesus Christ, speak evil of the saints, slight and make a mock at the ordinance of God, delight in wicked company and the like? Then know that it is because thou dost not indeed and in truth believe the Scriptures effectually. For as I said before, if a man do believe them, and that savingly, then he stands in awe, he looks to his steps, he turns his feet from evil, and endeavors to follow that which is good, which God hath commanded in the Scriptures of truth. Yet not from a legal or natural principle, that is, to seek for life by doing that good thing, but knowing that salvation is already obtained for him by the blood of that man, Christ Jesus, on the cross, because he believes the Scriptures. Therefore, mark, I pray, therefore, I say he labors to walk with his God in all well-pleasing and godliness, because of the sweet power of the loves of Christ, which he feels in his soul by the Spirit, according to the Scriptures, constrain him so to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Fifth use, examine again. Dost thou labor after those qualifications that the Scriptures do describe a child of God by? That is, faith, yea, the right faith, the most holy faith, the faith of the operation of God. And also, dost thou examine whether there is a real growth of grace in thy soul, as love, zeal, self-denial, and a seeking by all means to attain, if possible, to the resurrection of the dead? That is, not to satisfy thyself until thou be dissolved and rid of this body of death, and be transformed into that glory that the saints shall be in after the resurrection day. And in the meantime, dost labor and take all opportunities to walk as near as may be to the pitch, though thou know thou canst not attain it perfectly? Yet, I say, thou dost aim at it, seek after it, press towards it, and to hold it, and to hold on in thy race. Thou shunnest that which may any way hinder thee, and also closest in with what may any way further the same, knowing that that must be, or desiring that it should be, thine eternal frame, and therefore out of love and liking to it, thou dost desire and long after it, as being the thing that doth most please thy soul. Or how is it with thy soul? Art thou such an one as regards not these things, but rather busy thy thoughts about the things here below, following those things that have no scent of divine glory upon them? If so, look to thyself. Thou art an unbeliever, and so under the wrath of God, and wilt for certain fall into the same place of torment that thy fellows have fallen into before thee, to the grief of thy own soul and thy everlasting destruction. Consider and regard these things, and lay them to thy heart before it be too late to recover thyself, by repenting of the one, and desiring to close in with the other. Oh, I say, regard, regard, for hell is hot. God's hand is up. The law is resolved to discharge against thy soul. The judgment day is at hand. The graves are ready to fly open. The trumpet is near the sounding. The sentence will ere long be passed. Then you and I cannot call time again. Use and application. But again, seeing they are so certain, so sure, so irrevocable and firm, and seeing the saving faith of the things contained therein, is to reform the soul and bring it over into the things of God. Really conforming to the things contained therein, both to the point of justification and also an impartial walking and giving up thy soul and body to a conformity to all the commands, counsels, instructions, and exhortations contained therein. This then will learn us how to judge of those who give up themselves to walk in the imaginations of their own hearts, who slight and lay aside the scriptures, counting them but empty and uncertain things, and will live every day in open contradiction to what is contained, commanded, and forbidden therein, as, first, this will show us that all your drunkards, whoremasters, liars, thieves, swearers, backbiters, slanderers, scoffers at goodness, etc., I say, we may see by this that they that live in such things have not the faith of these things contained in their hearts, seeing they delight to practice those things that are forbidden by and in them. And so, they continuing, living and dying in this state, we may conclude without fear that these portions of Holy Scripture belong unto them, and shall for certain be fulfilled upon them. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. But the abominable, the unbelieving, the whoremongers, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Depart, depart from me, for I will not save you. Depart, for my blood shall not at all wash you. Depart, for you shall not set one foot into the kingdom of heaven. Depart, ye cursed. Ye are cursed of God, cursed of his law, cursed of me, cursed by the saints, and cursed by the angels, cursed all over, nothing but cursed, and therefore depart from me, and whither? Into everlasting fire, fire that will scald, scorch, burn, and flame to purpose, fire that shall never be quenched, Mark 9, fire that will last to all eternity. And must we be all alone? No, you shall have company, stores of company with you, namely, all the raging, roaring devils, together with an innumerable company of fellow damned sinners, men, women, and children. And if the scriptures be true, as they will one day wonderfully appear to be, then this must and shall be thy portion, if thou live and die in this state. And all of them who continue in sinning against the truth contained in the scriptures, as, first, dost thou delight to sin against plain command? Thou art gone. Second, dost thou slight and scorn the counsels contained in the scriptures and continue in so doing? Then thou art gone. Third, dost thou continually neglect to come to Christ and usest arguments in thine own heart to satisfy thy soul with so doing? Then thou art gone. Luke chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, compared with verse 24, and Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How shall we escape? That is, there is no way to escape. Number one, because God hath said that we shall not. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, that was Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Number two, because he hath not only said they shall not, but also hath bound it with an oath, saying, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Hebrews 3, verse 11. To whom did he swear that they should not enter into his rest? Answer, to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief, verses 18 and 19. Second, this will teach us what to think and conclude of such who, though they do not so openly discover their folly by open and gross sins against the law, yet will give more heed to their own spirits and the movings thereof, though they be neither commanded nor commended for the same in Scripture. Nay, though the Scripture command and commend the contrary, then they will to the holy and revealed will of God, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. I say, such men are in as bad a state as the other to the full, being disobedient to God's will revealed in His Word, as well as they, though in a different manner, the one openly transgressing against the plain and well-known truths revealed in it, the other, though more close and hidden, yet secretly rejecting and slighting them, giving more heed to their own spirits and the motions thereof, although not warranted by the Scriptures. A few words more, and so I shall conclude. And, first, take heed that you content not yourself with the bare notion of the Scriptures in your heads, by which you may go far, even so far as to be able to dispute for the truth, to preach the gospel, and labor to vindicate it in opposition to gainsayers, and yet be found at the left hand of Christ at the judgment day, forasmuch as thou didst content thyself with the notion or traditional knowledge of them. Second, have a care that thou own the whole Scripture, and not own one part and neglect another, or slight it as thus. To own the law and slight the gospel, or to think that thou must be saved by thy good doings and works, for that is all one, as if thou did thrust Christ away from thee, or else so to own the gospel, as if by it thou wert exempted from all obedience to the Ten Commandments, and conformity to the law and life and conversation. For in so doing, thou wilt for certain make sure of eternal vengeance. Third, have a care that thou put not wrong names on the things contained in the Scriptures, as to call the law Christ, and Christ the law. For some, having done so, in my knowledge, have so darkened to themselves the glorious truths of the gospel, that in a very little time they have been resolved to thwart and oppose them, and so have made room in their own souls for the devil to inhabit, and obtained a place in hell for their own souls to be tormented forever and ever. Against this danger, therefore, in reading and receiving the testimony of Scripture, learn to distinguish between the law and the gospel, and to keep them clear asunder as to the salvation of thy soul. Number one. And that thou mayest do so in the first place, beg of God that He would show thee the nature of the gospel, and set it home effectually with life and power upon thy soul by faith, which is this, that God would show thee that as thou being man hast sinned against God, so Christ being God, man, hath bought thee again, and with His most precious blood set thee free from the bondage thou hast fallen into by thy sins. And that not upon condition that thou wilt do thus and thus, this and the other good work, but rather that thou, being first justified freely by mere grace through the blood of Jesus, shouldst also receive thy strength from Him who hath bought thee, to walk before Him in an all well-pleasing, being enabled thereto by the virtue of His Spirit, which hath revealed to thy soul that thou art delivered already from wrath to come by the obedience not of thee, but of another man, Jesus Christ. Number two, then if the law thou readest of tell thee in thy conscience thou must do this and the other good work of the law, if ever thou wilt be saved, answer plainly that for thy part thou art resolved now not to work for life, but to believe in the virtue of that blood shed upon the cross, upon Mount Calvary, for the remission of sins. And yet because Christ hath justified thee freely by His grace, thou wilt serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of thy life, yet not in a legal spirit or in a covenant of works, but mine obedience, say thou, I will endeavor to have it free and cheerful out of the love to my Lord Jesus. Have a care thou receive not this doctrine in the notion only, lest thou bring a just damnation upon thy soul by professing thyself to be freed by Christ's blood from the guilt of sin, while thou remainest still a servant to the filth of sin. For I must tell you, that unless you have the true and saving work of the faith and grace of the gospel in your hearts, you will either go on in a legal holiness, according to the tenor of the law, or else, through a notion of the gospel, the devil bewitching and beguiling thy understanding, will, and affections, thou wilt, ranter-like, turn the grace of God into wantonness, and bring upon thy soul double, if not triple, damnation, and that thou couldest not be contented to be, or be contented to be damned for thy sins against the law, but also to make ruin sure to thy soul, thou wouldst dishonor the gospel and turn the grace of God held forth and discovered to men by that into licentiousness. But that thou mightest be sure to escape these dangerous rocks on the right hand and on the left, see that thy faith be such as spoken of in Scripture, and that thou be not satisfied without that which is a faith wrought by the mighty operation of God, revealing Christ to and in thee as having wholly freed thee from thy sins by his most precious blood, which faith, if thou attain unto, will so work in thy heart, that first thou wilt see the nature of the law, and secondly, also the nature of the gospel, and delight in the glory of it, and also thou wilt find an engaging of thy heart and soul to Jesus Christ, even to the giving up of thy whole man unto him, to be ruled and governed by him to his glory.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at puritandownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at puritandownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit puritandownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.